Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk. Today, I want to talk about, I guess, what you could say is one of my very favorite subjects, one about which I return to again and again, certainly in my spiritual life. It's about God's grace, the meaning of grace. One of the most extraordinarily significant, important terms in the whole Bible in way of understanding our incomprehensibly gracious God. And one of the finest summaries of God's nature in the Hebrew Bible that is repeated a number of times, and I will read the passage from Exodus 34, verse 6, to give you a lead in. Moses is talking to God up on Mount Sinai, and he asks God, can I see you? Can I have a look at you? Which is probably a pretty good question, as mysterious as God is. And God basically says, you can't really see my face because, you know, it'd be too much to take. But I'm gonna pass by you, so you could just kind of see my beautiful trail, kind of like a comet, I guess, trail. And as God passes, God says this beautiful statement of God's own nature. Here's the part I want to lift up. God is, quote, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Wow. And as I say, that's repeated in the Psalms. It's repeated a number of times. You can even say to God, oh God, thank you. You are merciful and gracious. Oh God, you're slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So be kind to me. God, be good to me. There's a lot to unwrap here this morning and to understand regarding this who of God, who's in our midst, invisible, but very much present and succinct. I'll turn first to Psalm 116, an example. If you've ever been up against it in your life and you've prayed to God to help you, and then God is gracious to you, God comes through. Listen to these magnificent words. There have been times in my life when I was kind of living out of this psalm. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, had delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for his graciousness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. Wow. It goes on, and that's enough to get an idea of this enormous gratitude. One of the most beautiful, succinct, and yet accurate statements about the nature of both grace and mercy, because God is merciful and gracious, I have no idea who said it, but I sure have used it over the years, is this: mercy is when you don't get what you deserve, and grace is when you get what you don't deserve. As that sinks in, I'm going to say it again. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. The word for grace in Greek, in the New Testament, was written in Greek, is charis. It means an unmerited gift, unmerited, unearned gift or favor with no expectation of, absolutely no expectation of a return. Usually given from a superior to an inferior. It is the decision and the flow from that decision to do something good for another because one wants to do it rather than because it's owed or there's some sense of obligation. Grace is not like the gift of a mafia godfather who may ask something for you later in return. With grace, no obligation is incurred. Something in our usual quid pro quo world of barter. Quid pro quo literally means you do, I do. Hey, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. You give and I give. You do and I do. That's the kind of world of barter we understand. But the focus of grace is on God as the giver rather than the given. Let me say that again. This is so important you get this. The focus of grace is on God, the giver, or is on the giver rather than the given. It's about God, not about us. See, everything comes from grace, as far as we can tell. God didn't have to create the universe and all that is within it, including, of course, the human race. God, it seems, chose to do it. God created everything out of the endless, incomprehensible freedom that adheres to God. So you could say there may be necessity within creation, but not necessity for creation. God made laws by which creation operates, laws which may generate necessity, a cause-effect element of life, like what goes up must come down, concerning gravity, unless, of course, one gains sufficient velocity. Yet God's grace transcends, is greater than the laws of the universe. Grace creates but is not subject to creation's laws. In other words, God is beyond the law. You know, maybe the greatest philosophical question of all is simply, why is there something instead of nothing? I've asked that question. I've wondered. There really is no answer, right? Why is there something instead of nothing? Why creation? Have you ever wondered? Lord knows I have. Why this planet? Why this universe? Why this guy? Why this Hal Green? The answer to this unfathomable mystery of the why of creation rests in the sovereign, silent will of God. And from God's supreme will issues grace. Grace, you could say, is like the flow of the river, the manifest flow of God, the revealed currents of God's goodwill. God's will is, so to say, God's go, and God's grace is God's flow. So you could say both God goes with a flow and flows with a go. We should do likewise in our own lives, go with the flow of grace and flow with the go of God, with God's will. It's a wonderful kind of a thought. Have you experienced God's grace in your life? Have you gone with that flow? You know, the analogy has been used, actually first by Martin Luther, of God's proper and God's strange will, he called it. And here he used the analogy of the flow of a river. I guess the Cedar River here in eastern Iowa has a greater flow, speed, pull than the Mississippi. Well, years ago, I took a youth group on a float in the Des Moines River. And just for the fun of it, because I used to not be too bad a swimmer, I wanted to demonstrate to these young people the difference between going with God's will and going against God's will, all right? So when you go with God's will, God's grace, the flow, you turn and you go downstream, and man, you can go pretty good, right? Then I got out, came back, and said, now I'm going to show you what it's like to resist God's will, to do what's wrong, to go against the goodwill and grace of God. And I tried to swim upstream. I didn't get very far. I did my very best just to try to hold my own. That's kind of like grace. But the flow doesn't change. It's me changing in my relationship. Am I going with God or resisting God? Well, I'll tell you, grace has added a singular importance to my life as to the lives of many others. Like the song says, and if there's time, I'll come back and speak through those lyrics. We've all heard it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Been there. Had that done for me. God saved me as a young man when I was lost and nearly drowned in the wasteland waters of this shallow world, and a heap of things happened and my life kind of fell apart. And it was the grace of God that turned me from an unbelieving man of the world into a believing child of God, and ultimately into a disciple, thankful disciple of Jesus Christ. I wrote a psalm about it, a thankful prayer to God entitled Grace. It's going to read it. I know it's kind of heavy, but it speaks my heart even now, many, many years later. It's addressed to God. You did not have to do what you did for me. Reach out and pluck me, dying from the dark burning of boundless despair, from the mocking meaninglessness that exists apart from the light of your love. You did not have to revive and restore me, living now for you in the tender atmosphere of the Spirit between us, the gentle Holy Spirit of your love, which is better than life. Why did you save me at the very hour of my going under, feeling then instead of the last wrenching of death's insensate claws, the first healing, knowing touch of your rescuing fingers, that you, the living God, should be for me, who had not been for you, that you would reach out to hold and heal me, who can only offer you gratitude, and that inconsistently, inadequately, is the never-diminishing wonder of my life. That you did for me what you did not have to do at the time when it had to be done, if it was ever going to be done, is the source of the ever-welling spring of life you birthed in my heart, the strength of my cleaving to you in hungering trust. Nothing did you ask of me in exchange for your grace. No conditions or constraints did you set forth. Yet your lavish gifting aroused such ardor in me, such endless afterlife, that I keep on seeking to do for you what I do not have to, but choose to do. In saving my life, you gave me your life to found my life, your love to ground my love, your grace to spawn in me grace like light for others. As we let that sink in, let's get a weather report.
Protect yourself and your loved ones. Shooting Stars Gun Range offers a defense pistol training class where you'll learn the basics like how to sweep your home for an intruder, different options for carrying concealed weapons, and a whole lot more. Concealed to carry classes are also available. Stop by Shooting Stars Gun Range, Muscatine's only indoor shooting range across from the railroad tracks just behind South End Happy Joe's. Call 263-0704.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. A winter weather advisory continues until 9 a.m. this morning. Mainly sunny skies and calm today, with snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 20. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows around 4 below tonight, partly cloudy. High of 20 tomorrow. A dusting of snow today. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
Okay, we are back. I know that's a heavy poem, but it's just the way it was. Years later, by the way, God made clear to me the extraordinary nature of grace during a prayer. It was one of those 2 or 3 in the morning type prayers when I woke up, and I was a pastor in those days, and I was thinking about all the things I should have done and didn't, all the things maybe I shouldn't have done and did, the people who needed my love and care that I was only there for partly, or the demands of the parish. And I just felt like a failure. I felt, I just had to apologize for God. You know, God, you deserve better. You deserve more than I've given, more than I seem to be capable of giving. I was so engrossed in myself, so obsessed with my state that I was not seeing or sensing God. Instead of a peace-generating dialogue, I was having, you could say, a self-tormenting monologue. I felt stuck to my ever-frail humanity, plagued by the realization I could never measure up to or attain divinity, what God was seemingly calling me to. I can't get there on my own. I was in over my head. I was out of my league. What I sought would be forever out of my reach or control, on my own. Then came an unexpected word of the Lord that penetrated me with grace and truth, which stopped my self-examination on the spot and turned me to God, to my long-sought partner in prayer. It came out of left field when I was not expecting it, and it was God. The word of the Lord to me was simply, "It's not about you." Just stop me. It's not about you. The words went through my soul and silenced me, and they revealed the precious presence of God who was listening. And just as significantly shifted my attention off me and onto God. Then I remembered God's word through the psalmist, "Seek ye my face." Then, my friends, the most amazing thing happened as I gazed in my way at the sense of the presence of God, the face of God, which I could not see with my eyes, but with my heart, with my inner eyes of love and longing. As I sensed the loving face of Christ, and just listen, this is exactly what happened. Slowly, delicately, the Lord, who is the Spirit, first put almost like a liner in my soul. My soul at that point felt like a bucket with many holes in it that couldn't hold water. Got it? It was as if God put in a holy liner into my soul bucket and then began filling me with love. Wow. So I felt better. I was not okay, but that was okay. God loved me in my brokenness and did not ask me not to be broken, but rather said, "It's not about you, Hal Green. It's about me. I am God, and I will love you in your brokenness. Look to me, not to yourself. Let me love you." Oh. So I could say, however strange it sounds, "I'm not okay, but that's okay." We all want to say we're okay, right? "How are you doing today?" "Oh, I'm fine. I'm okay. How are you?" "Okay, okay, okay." Right. I tell people, Sometimes if someone asks you how you're doing, look at them with a straight face and say, I'm so glad you asked. And watch how they back up. Wow. The Apostle Paul spoke eloquently about God's grace in Romans. One of my favorite passages from Romans 5. Romans 5. While we were yet weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves God's love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. If while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. The Bible is the story of God's grace, first in creation, then in choosing to bless a people as God's own, and all humanity through God's people. Begin with Abraham and Sarah, out of sheer grace, without regard or merit, just as God chose the Jewish people to be a light to the nations. And as I've already indicated, God told Moses, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. God's will is inscrutable. Yet once God has chosen, once God has covenanted, God does not take it back. Thank heavens God does not believe in divorce. As Paul said, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So, through grace, not through our merit, through God's will, through God's own loving, God has chosen all of us in Christ Jesus. God has elected us, so to say, by sheer utter grace, calling all of us into Christ. It is God's good pleasure to save us, not because of any merit in us, but because of God's own inscrutable will. Thus does Jesus tell us not to worry about tomorrow, what we shall eat, what we shall wear, where we will live. Why? God will take care of us because of who God is rather than because of who we are. Jesus, the great bearer of grace, gives us these summary words of grace. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. It is from God's grace, God's inscrutable goodwill, that we receive all kinds of gifts, not just talents, but gifts of the Spirit, which, okay, is called a charisma, which means a gift of charis, grace, charisma, the plural is charismata. These are all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts that are given to all of us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, now there are varieties of gifts, but one Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everyone receives gifts of the Spirit because of God's goodwill toward us, not because of our desert. Now, this is problematic. Those of you who are old enough to have children, why do you love your children? Because they're your children. Do you love them because you've determined that they warrant it, that they deserve it by their goodness? No, you love them because they're your children. So God loves us. You love them because you love your children because of who you are. God loves us because of who we are. The only proper return for grace is gratitude, frankly. It's interesting and significant that the Latin root for both grace and gratitude is the same. Gratus. Gratus. Grace. Gratitude. Gratus. You know what that means? Pleasing. It pleases God to give life and love to us. The best thing you can do? Be pleased with God's gift. Are you pleased with God's good pleasure to give you life? The fact that you are means that God loves you, or you wouldn't be at all. Wow. God sustains us in secret while we were sinners and apart from God, and God in Christ died for us so we could be forgiven and come to know the way God loves us. And Christ lives in us as spirit to fully make us God's own, God to transform us through grace. Sanctification is called making us, working in us through the grace of the love of God in Christ Jesus and the reception of this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow. The best thing we can do is say yay and amen to God's decision to secure and love us and save us. Well, I've got some quotes. First, Anne Lamott, she's so great. Good writer. I do not at all understand the mystery of grace, only that it meets us where we are, but does not leave us where it found us. Isn't that beautiful? I've got some others here. I won't mention names as much because it's not enough time. I have had to experience so much stupidity, so many vices, so much error, so much nausea, disillusionment, and sorrow just in order to become a child again and begin anew. I had to experience despair. I had to sink to the greatest mental depths, to thoughts of suicide, in order to experience grace. Duh. It was worth it if you experienced that grace. That happened to me in my life. Thank goodness not as bad as this gentleman's. The grace of God means something like, here's your life. You might have never been, but you are, because the party wouldn't have been complete without you. Grace is what picks me up and lifts my wings high above and I fly. Grace always conquers. Be graceful in everything, in anger and sadness and joy, in kindness and unkindness. Retain grace with you. God's grace is not defined as God being forgiving to us even though we sin. Grace is when God is a source of wholeness which makes up for my failings. My failings hurt me and others and even the planet. And God's grace to me is that my brokenness is not the final word. It's that God makes beautiful things out of even my own, I can't use the word here, I'll just say stuff. Grace isn't about God creating humans and flawed beings and then acting all hurt when we inevitably fail and then stepping in like the hero to grant us grace, like saying, ah, it's okay, I'll be the good guy and forgive you. It's God saying, I love the world too much to let your sin define you and be the final word. I am a God who makes all things new. Wow. The worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace, and your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace. By the way, I'll be putting this show on my website later this morning at drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. Now, I know how many seconds I got, about 30 seconds, okay, then I told you I was going to come back. I'm not going to sing it, though I like to sing it. I'm going to give you the first verse of Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And we're all wretches, my friend. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this week and always. Amen.